Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 115, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, and fuck Fox News. It's Tuesday, January 7th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a.'s on TDZ. Gotta find one now for Jack O.B. Tweet him to me, tweet him to me, tweet him to me, tweet him to me, tweet him to me. That is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi Maine, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Let's not start another motherfucking war for no reason to protect oil infrastructure. And remember about American imperialism, it's a very real thing. Way to be back.
Yes.
What a day to come back. What, wow. What news we had to start this year. Oh my God.
You were in a news deprivation chamber.
I tried to.
Chamber.
Try to not use social media, try to not use news, because look, y'all, we do this show for you pretty much 50 weeks out the year, nonstop. Mm. And this is the one time I can pretend to be like how I was before 2016.
Right.
When I'd be like, yeah, what's going on? cool. Yeah, Obama.
Blissful.
Yeah. So, you know, I took a deep breath and I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready for this motherfucking year. Because, we got fucking work to do. We got fucking work to do.
We do. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Marcella Argallo.
A.K.A. Queef Latina, A.K.A. Richard Pryor.
Queef Latina.
The second one is Richard Pryor. I think that one's better. A.K.A.
Those are great.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
How has your new year been thus far?
Pretty great, actually.
Really?
I also have been avoiding the new year.
Damn, like, that's the first time I've heard of that.
I started meditating in the mornings and exercising every day. I'm really trying to stay offline. Really great.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
You seem like you're in a good place.
Had you tried this before? Like doing, staying off the social media and
shit?
Yes,
I've definitely tried.
And you always felt good after, but it just keeps sucking you back in?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I actually took December off. Mm, so, all of December.
Oh, shit.
Instead of 2 weeks, I didn't work at all. And so I was like, I don't have anything to promote. I mean, I still have a couple things to promote, but I didn't have to, aggressively promote my weekly show. I didn't have to, I wasn't on tour. So I really got to just not give a shit about social media and reading the news. And I was like, this is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Now, both of you, when you came back into it, did you feel like extra stress, or was it just like, oh, This is not what
you know
I
what
expected.
I do now? I literally listen to the Watchmen score as I read news on my phone. I'm not fucking around.
Smart.
And I'm like, watch me bring this motherfucker down.
That's smart.
Like, nice. I don't know. It causes me a lot of stress, but it's empowering at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what it is, but yeah.
It's inspiring.
Yeah.
It's made it easier for me to be like, I need to log off.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Once people start with me, I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
The shit is optional.
Got to use my energy for good.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're going to try to get to today. It's a packed doc.
That's a lot.
We're going to talk about food trends of 2020, according to the New York Times. They have put on their oracle hats and blessed us with a vision of the next 12 months. We're going to talk about Nancy Pelosi trying to get some war powers, a war powers resolution going. We're going to talk about the decision-making process for the assassination at the end of last week, and it's kind of coming into focus a little bit more. The New York Times had a piece about how the president came to the decision to assassinate Soleimani. It's not any...
It reads like a fucking cruel joke.
Yeah.
The Pentagon shit? Well, yeah. Wait till we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Bolton will testify if subpoenaed when it comes to the... What was that called again that we used to care about?
Oh, something about impeachment?
Impeachment.
I'm talking about impeaching this.
Oh, yeah. We had a song for it and shit. Members of Congress are asking the Supreme Court to consider overruling Roe v. Wade. It's a bunch of horrible shit.
I've never been more excited to be here.
Not the least of which is Gwyneth Paltrow's new Goop show on Netflix. So we'll talk about that.
Ooh.
So don't you worry.
It's a Goop branded show?
Oh,
or we're not just saying it's calling Goop because it's her?
No, it's a Goop branded show. The poster of which is her inside a
concentric
hall
circles,
of vagina.
Pussy.
Those are vaginas?
Yeah, bro.
Wow.
And it says reach new depths.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She's silly. She goes for it.
I really like her. She's fun.
She's fun. She's a white woman with a personality.
Yeah.
Question mark?
But first, Marcella, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
So the last thing I searched was... It just said big fat Greek wedding, big one GIF, because GIF, I don't know what side you're on, nerds.
I'm a GIF person.
Me too.
Although people are like, the person who created it says GIF or some shit, but I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I really
grew up saying
care.
This with it's a hard
really.
G.
Really don't care.
Doesn't matter. So I Googled that because I was trying to write a tweet about like masturbating with my vibrator. Mm. And I was in the movie Aunt Vula. She goes to tweeze her niece's eyebrows. One big one. So I wanted to do a tweet about like every time I masturbate with my vibrator at the end, I'm always like, just I need one big one.
Just one big one.
There you go.
But I couldn't find it. So the tweet doesn't exist.
Shit.
You can make them.
I know, but I don't...
You know, that's too much time.
It's a lot.
It's easy. All you got to do, if it's
a
YouTube clip...
No, I know how to
clip.
Make a fucking GIF GIF, bitch. What I'm saying is I'd have to find the clip and then, then record it and do
so
the
don't
whole
you
thing.
Ever, but like, get like obsessed enough that you'll just do it like, fuck it, I need... This has to happen.
A joke
so
wasn't good enough
work.
For me.
Oh, really? Yeah. I guess. Oh, right. So then when you actually did the math, you're like... No, all right.
It's not worth it. But that goes back to not being obsessed about social media anymore.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know what? This isn't worth all the energy it would take to get like maybe two retweets. No thanks.
And now we know that GIF was in your heart.
It was in my heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
One big one. I think it was a hair on her chin. Anyway, so it's really funny.
What is something you think is overrated?
I think marrying for love is overrated. Mm.
Marry for
money.
Business.
Yeah.
Business.
The way Beyonce and Jay-Z did, the way my parents did, you marry for business.
Uh-huh. What do you think is the difference? Like what?
Well,
what,
I think that people because...
Or what do they think they get out of marrying for love?
They're like, oh my God, he understands me. We're so me. And everything like... It's like the honeymoon phase, but the honeymoon phase doesn't last.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to have like the same goals, the same mindset, the same way of moving. And I don't think enough people are looking for that when they're out dating.
Right. And you're sort of distilling it down, not saying that obviously you need love, but people don't consider what it means to have a partner that like also motivates yes. you to not just be like, we love to fuck
yeah,
and
exactly.
watch Breaking
right.
Bad.
Right. And I think that's like, that's more, I've always admired Beyonce and Jay-Z for that reason, because I was like, damn, because she's business mind. Like that is her, that's how she was raised, to be business oriented. And that's how Jay-Z, like he raised himself to be that way.
Right.
So I was like, ooh, they were attracted to each other. And then they both realized how business oriented they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's get married.
Haven't kissed in 7 years, I think.
Is that right?
No, I don't know.
they love each other business. And they love that they're business.
Right.
Mindset.
They love that they are.
He's not a businessman.
Global
He's a businessman.
Oh my exactly. God.
I let him handle his business. Damn.
It seems like she's getting the worst end out of that, because I would imagine she would be very easy to be in love with, and also she's the biggest business or the biggest entertainment act in existence.
Oh, you're saying because she's bigger, like she's bigger, better than him,
and yeah. So it's like I don't feel like you have to twist his arm too much to be like but it's
but when they met, she was not.
That's true.
He was bigger than her. And
okay.
She and him started putting songs out together, and it benefited both of them in different ways, because
right.
she was a pop act, so he was being seen by more pop.
Yeah, both Bonnie and Clyde, where people were like, "Wow, who's Jay-Z?"
But
who's
then
this?
Crazy in Love, and they did all these other songs.
Right.
But then
who's
she,
this Jigger,
and then his rap audience learned about her. You know,
right.
The hard R. That's
yeah,
so,
I'm telling you, people. I remember so people awkward. Around that time when that Blueprint album came out, who did not hear about Jay-Z, and they're like,
oh,
"Who's?"
No.
I remember someone saying Jay's.
Oh yeah. No!
And I was like,
but that's probably a Beyonce fan.
Yeah. Or just people who, if you had a total rap blind spot. That starts charting, and you're only reading, you're like, I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
Right.
And then some people, I think at that point, probably obviously knew like Hard Knock Life.
Right.
Before that.
Volume 2.
You had to respect
Volume
this shit.
Volume 2, Jack.
Yeah. that's, well, what is it? The Life and Times
of Sean Carter.
Volume 2. What is something you think is underrated?
This rapper named Your Old Droog. He is so funny. And
Your Old Droog.
Your Old Droog. And he actually has an album where Anthony Jeselnik does like just talks shit in between, but he has all these really funny, like my favorite thing about rappers is when they're funny. I think a lot of rappers aren't, and Droog is so fucking funny. He's one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter, and he just talks so much shit.
Where's he from?
He's from the
Brooklyn.
East Coast. Yeah,
I just Googled.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. And he's just really funny. He's I just think he's underrated. This is my serious response. Well, they're both serious responses. Yeah.
Your Old Droog.
Yeah. He's so funny. He's just a little shit talker, and I like that in rappers.
Love shit talking.
His debut EP was recorded by Nas under an alter, under an alternate name.
Wait, what do you mean?
I don't know if that's true.
That's what Wikipedia says. So
that he
it very well
he
could.
Was wait what
he
do you
was
mean?
Record. I think it was like he was produced by Nas under an alternate name, which I don't.
Oh, that like he was Nas was collaborating with him.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Is the gist of this.
I mean, whatever.
I don't know about that.
If he's my old Droog, like he says he is, I like it.
Yeah.
He got a song called Sam Kinison.
Yeah. He got a track called Basketball and Seinfeld.
I mean, I'm telling you, he's a comedy fan.
Yeah,
he's
I like
dope.
That.
I love him.
That's hilarious.
He's so mean to his fans online. He blocks people. They're like, Droog, don't block me. I love you. And he's like,
block.
That's a block.
Wow.
It's so funny.
That's great.
He cracks me up every day on the timeline.
Huh. What is a myth? What's something people think is true? You know,
I hate this part of you guys' show. I don't participate ever.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
I refuse
right.
to participate in this part of your show. It's so goofy.
All right. Cool.
You always say that the things behind the scenes you don't realize before. It's like, I couldn't come up with something, so fuck this thing.
I mean, it's half that, and half the reality is like, I don't care. If I don't care about something, I'm going to be like, couldn't think of it.
Yeah, sure.
I don't
sure.
care.
No, that's fair.
You're not a Mythbuster out here.
No. Yeah.
You ever watch Mythbusters?
No. Why?
You ever listen to a Busta Rhymes album?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm trying to guide you back to the myth.
You know who loves myth busting? Mensa. According to Jamie Loftus's new website, and find myself in new podcast, and I find myself in opposition to anything Mensa is in favor of. So maybe we'll replace this.
Thank you.
It also is the
That's
one
true
that
feminism.
Like the least.
True feminism.
I do like that.
True feminism. Yeah. Ally in the building.
Yeah, but get rid of that. It's silly. Because also there's some myths that exist that like bring people comfort.
Yeah.
So no, busting them is like an obnoxious, I mean, well, actually attempt at
most
life.
Of the time,
well,
it's,
actually?
Most of the time, it's an overrated, wrapped in the form of a myth, which
right.
is typically the construction I always see, or pseudoscience.
Yes.
And then we had to cut that shit out. We're like, okay, we don't need takes on medicines.
That's funny.
All right.
I'll tell you what does work is ear candling.
Ear candling?
Uh-oh.
It works.
Here we go.
I have migraines.
Prepare your mentions.
I have really bad migraines. I used to. I don't have them anymore because I ear candle.
Because of ear candling?
It really helps. It's disgusting.
So you're on the side of your head with a candle sticking out of your
yes,
ear.
Yes, it's so weird. Lit. I didn't. And you got to understand, I'm not like a holistic. I don't believe in none of that shit. I like Western medicine. I love ibuprofen before bed. I just don't give a shit. I like eat shit. And my sister one day was like, because she knew I got migraines, and she was like, should try this. And I, of course, it's not going to work for everybody.
Right.
But it worked for me, and I was truly shocked.
See, look, go. And just in true form, a myth in the form of
pseudoscience. But it's not a myth, though.
Well,
some people, it works.
I guess it all depends, yeah.
Right.
I think some people, yeah, it's like anything, right? If shit, I think smoking blunts relieves my migraines.
Yeah, and mine makes mine worse.
Really?
Yeah, I don't
You think
smoke.
It's the nicotine?
No, I'm just saying I don't...
Smoking does?
Just smoking. Weed for me, I have to like make sure that I'm perfectly healthy.
Yeah, I was with some friends over the break, and I didn't realize this one person I know, they like any bit of caffeine sets off their migraines to the point where they're like, I can't eat chocolate.
Oh,
I can't
wow.
have MSG.
Yeah.
I was like...
But that's every human body is different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's talk, speaking of MSG and chocolate, let's talk about the food trends of 2020, according to the New York Times.
Yeah.
I'll read through some of their predictions. You guys react or don't react. None of this is compulsory. Japanese food, that is not sushi.
That is so broad, that shouldn't feel like a prediction.
I know, right?
Like, an existing, very popular, you know, cuisine, but different stuff from them. So I know because right now people love, like... Right in LA, there's like the tamago sandwich, the egg sandwich boom going on, and people making like omuraisu, which is like an omelet rice dish,
okay.
or getting into, you know,
an
koji.
Omelet rice dish. That
yeah.
Good.
It's pretty
dope. I just miss all the snacks.
Yeah.
Because like everything is made with like a red bean. Like, in, I would go,
oh,
my
like
favorite thing was going to the 7-Eleven and buying all the snacks.
Yeah.
In Tokyo.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's where the fun food really is.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, a meal is a meal, but they have dope snacks.
And shit, you could actually put together a pretty healthy dinner at a 7-Eleven.
Exactly.
People, it's such a commuter culture and people half the time don't have time to cook. You could be like, here's my blank salad thing plus chicken. And I will, man, many nights I've gotten down at a 7-Eleven.
I bet.
Very healthy.
One blue food, exclamation point.
What's
blue food?
I don't know. They say that liquid, it can be butterfly pea powder tea, which obviously that's what you guys were thinking.
Butterfly pea
solid,
powder.
Solid, ube, or a purple yam.
Okay. That's
and
purple,
leafy.
Though.
Mountain spinach, aka orak.
Oh.
What'd you call me?
Orak?
Exactly.
Peas and buckwheat? I mean, these are, are these really? Oh, no, one of them is more just like they think that there's going to be obviously more vegan food. I think we've seen that happening already.
Yeah. For sure.
CBD.
I mean, at the Golden Globes.
Ton of CBD.
Right. CBD everywhere. Everything everywhere, which is not, that's,
so
that would have been a good prediction.
With the legalization.
Yeah, and that would have been a good prediction for the year 2019.
Sure.
The Puffed. End of the all chicken nugget kitty menu, which I don't.
Wait, the end of it?
Yeah. They're saying basically that people are going to start coming up with more complex, healthy options for children.
I mean, the problem is if the child isn't raised that way, they're not going to be into it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, because I think, man, did you get away with being a picky eater?
I did.
Or did your parents laugh in your face?
No,
like,
I got
away
with it.
Starve. Oh, you did?
Yeah. But I was the youngest, so I was way more spoiled than my siblings were.
How many siblings do you have?
There's four of us.
Okay.
I'm the youngest.
Oh, so by that time, they had been worn down.
Yeah. They were like, well, she's not eating then. That's fine. I'm like, cool, I don't want to eat. Thanks. Bye. Well, I was a very picky eater, but then you grow up and now I eat everything, so I don't think that that's an indication.
What were you picky
anything.
About?
Dude, anything. Like, you know, we come from, I'm Salvadorian, so we have the pupusas, so I always talk about every time I'm here, I think. But when I was a kid, like, I only ate cheese pupusas. Then, because they're made with bean and cheese.
Yeah.
That's the staple, is bean and cheese. And then when I was a kid, I was like, no, I just want queso.
Wow.
And of course, my mom allowed it because I was a baby. And then now I'm older and you eat all the versions, yeah, you know, with the pork and the loroco and whatever. But
I just started eating loroco because I was like always eating revuelta, but I was like, no, let me actually, yeah, exactly.
That's the combo right there.
Yeah. I mean, I could see this happening because, like, kids now just, I don't know, they will accept healthier shit. Like, I feel like they'll accept it. There's a lot of avocados going around in children's diets these days.
There should be.
There is?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not raising kids. So.
Right. My
I'm
son,
like, yeah.
I would love if you had a really strong opinion on it.
Yeah.
but this is actually interesting. I'll be paying attention because we went to a couple of events where the children's menus were only chicken nugget based. I ate a lot of chicken nuggets over the break.
Finishing your kids' food?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It does come from the parent, though. Like, if the parent isn't encouraging the child to eat different types of foods, and it does diminish the interest from the child. But and the other side of it is when you have, like, playful dads, they're like, sweetie pie, come try this. It's so good. And then the kid tastes it, and it's fucking spicy or some zesty lemon thing that they don't like. And then that that ruins a trust for the kid. And they're like, no, I'm not going to try anything you tell me to try.
So what's the Marcelo Arguello school of getting your kids to eat right?
Just fucking eat in front of them and have them try it.
And be like, oh, this shit good. You wouldn't know
it
about
works.
This, kid. Yeah.
You wouldn't like this. This is, you will. And then they start eating it.
Or like that trick people do to get dogs to eat their medicine. Like, you pretend it's coming off your plate.
It fucking works.
Oh, shit. I love this digestible
kids
thing you gotta
eat.
Kids
and dogs are stupid. You gotta trick them.
They're like, yeah, my tip, get a dog training manual and replace dog with human child.
Right. That's how I got the first dude to eat my pussy. I tricked him. Put a little tree in there.
You were pretending you were eating it. Like,
oh, this is delicious.
My truffle?
Yummy.
Hey, not fair. Let me try.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't like it.
Oh, I will.
Okay, fine. Wow, that's a great bit.
Steal it from your own mind.
Ice cream with hidden vegetables. Speaking of tricking people into eating.
Wait, what?
I love this. What?
Yeah, ice cream with hidden vegetables is
what
a
are
prediction.
What are the examples? Are there?
Let's see.
I'm so into that. I want to eat it.
Toasted bread, ice cream. I don't know.
Wow.
They also have...
I really hate when you guys aren't prepared.
Yeah, there's so much going on, you know?
Yeah, man.
So it would be like mint chocolate chip ice cream that would also have pureed spinach as part of it.
Oh, that sounds good. I like that. I like my salts and my sweets mixed together. Yeah. I'm a chicken and waffles bitch. I like to just mix the stuff.
This is like a
together.
Company called Peekaboo.
Ooh.
Veggies in every bite.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like a hack that like a kid came up with to be
like
able to eat vegetables,
thing,
like eat ice cream for breakfast. Be like, well, what if I have vegetables inside the ice cream? It's like, well, maybe.
Right.
Cut
well,
to breakfast. That,
the kid
20
tricked
years
the mom
later.
How the kid was going to eat. I like
it. Right, right,
Alternative flour made from, among other things, green bananas, sweet potatoes, cauliflower. I feel like everybody's on that already. And watermelon seeds.
Ooh.
Hey. 24 grams of sugar per serving.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
that's fine.
That seems
for
like
the
it's
flour?
The...
For that ice cream.
Oh, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. There's
the flour with 24 grams of sugar.
There's like a lot of... Dietary health comes down to like, you know, portion size and stuff like that. And there's like an American idea that you can like consume your way to health. Like you need to get like this much. And I feel like hiding food in other food that's bad for you might not necessarily be the best strategy. But I guess if you're just substituting regular ice cream with spinach, with like three servings of spinach inside it.
I also just feel like it's something interesting to eat.
Yeah, that's true.
Like as a snack. I mean, I always have ice cream in my freezer, so like it would be fun to have that in the freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious to know if what scientific... I mean, like I guess you are getting it, so whether or not you're eating it with a bunch of sugar is moot. I don't know. Nutritionists get at us, but I...
My understanding, too, is that a lot of frozen vegetables, like packaged frozen vegetables, aren't healthy anyways, so...
Sure.
It's you never know.
It's vanilla with hidden zucchini.
Oh my God.
Mint chocolate with hidden spinach.
I like
strawberry
it.
With hidden carrots.
Ooh.
Chocolate ice cream with hidden cauliflower and cotton candy with hidden beets.
Cotton
that
candy ice cream.
That sounds amazing. Hmm. I want the cotton candy with the beets. Beets are my favorite.
I like beets. Cotton candy as a flavor, though, I typically
that's just sugar, right?
Exactly.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
What's the issue here?
I don't know, because there's like a little bit of that. Sometimes you get a little bit of flavor dye or whatever in it.
Yeah.
You get like vaguely blue berry dye flavor. Or something.
It sounds good sugar. To me. I don't know what you guys are really into.
You know what I think it is? Every time I eat a cotton candy, my whole shit is so there's no way to eat that shit and look like an adult by the end.
Yeah.
Either your fingers are turned colors because you're doing the pick method, or you're going face first and you got a fucking ring. You got a whole
I love it.
Full-on ring around your face.
Mm. That's food. It's supposed to be enjoyed.
I don't like looking like a fool when I eat my candy.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Miles, spaghetti. But you look like an idiot right now.
Without it. I got a blue ring around my mouth. I was eating toilet cakes again.
Also, toast, not just avocado toast, but in Asia, chefs are perfecting a method of hollowing out loaves of bread and stuffing them with toast and custard.
Yeah, it'll just be like ice cream. The shit will literally be like a cube loaf, hollowed out, packed to the brim with just strawberries and ice cream and custard and shit, whipped cream, and you're like, what the fuck is this? Or like honey and, prepare your blood sugar levels to go true to roof.
I'm into it.
So sugar is the overarching trend for 2020.
Flavored ghee, you know, okay, good for you. For people out there eating their clarified butter.
Mm.
But I guess it needs flavoring.
Mm. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and let's wade through the shit, you guys. So Nancy Pelosi is trying to pull back some of the power that has been granted the presidency over the past many decades by, you know, voting on a war powers resolution. Do we know how power or how likely it is to succeed?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's more just about like letting the president know and like asserting the congressional authority they have as a body. Because let's be real, it for anything to go to into law means it has to pass the fucking swamp that is the Republican Senate.
Right.
But you know, Tim Kaine introduced a similar bill in the Senate that's basically saying that if it was passed, it won't. That military action in Iran would have to end within 30 days of it being formally approved. But yeah, this is just a moment where, you know, you had the president basically saying like he's going to unilaterally start World War III and saying he doesn't need any kind of oversight. He doesn't need to collaborate or inform not even the Gang of Eight about what's going on. Like Lindsey Graham said he knew, but I think that was as a function of him being down in Mar-a-Lago trying to be his BFF.
Mm-hmm. Just rubbing his shoulders.
Yeah, and then Trump like tweeted out. I mean, he handled all the things about him not actually notifying Congress because he tweeted this shit that said, quote, "These media posts will serve as notification to the United States Congress that should Iran strike any U.S. person or target, the United States will quickly and fully strike back and perhaps in a disproportionate manner. Such legal notice is not required, but is given nevertheless." Okay, so that does not serve as an official notice.
Right.
Motherfucker, you're tweeting out the side of your neck. And also, this is we're already seeing as a result of this, there is no consultation with Congress about this.
Right.
He's basically like, okay, fine, these tweets then are going to let you know that I have people in my ear, whether it's Vladimir Putin, who is maybe playing 4D chess with my mush brain, or people like Mike Pence and Pompeo, who are like, yeah, this will bring the rapture.
Right.
I like this. Right. He's getting a lot of bad information, and he has a terrible, fragile ego, and this shit got me stressed the fuck out.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, I think that there's no doubt, like, he is a self-interested actor.
Mm-hmm.
He has unprecedented power, as do all presidents in the modern era, and he has said multiple times that he thinks a war with Iran would benefit whoever the president is in power at that time. So, like, that seems to be a if A, then B type, like, yeah, so he thinks it's in his interest to start a war with Iran as the election's coming up.
The wild thing is there are so many possibilities of what he really believes the reason, like what he thinks the benefit of this is.
Right.
Like whether it's to look stronger than Obama, because I know that's a thing. He was right. Feeling real in his feelings about people starting shit outside of an embassy.
Right.
And being like, yeah, well then that's how we gotta let him know.
Yeah. So the military leaders who kind of provided him with this option the New York Times was reporting that the assassination of Soleimani was the most extreme of the options, and they were shocked when he took it.
Right.
So, like, unlike with past bad ideas the president has gone with, they weren't able to just, like, you know, take it off his desk and wait for him to forget about it. They actually gave it to him, and he chose it, and I don't know if it's a thing where they're, you know, some of those adults in the room who were, you know, saying, oh, you guys should be thankful we're stopping World War III from happening, we're telling the truth, and they're just not there anymore because they all quit. But the timeline of what Trump was thinking is coming into focus, and it's as much as anything can, because his mind and decision-making is always very blurry. And
yeah, the idea that they were like, okay, that'll be the joke option.
Right.
That'll be too extreme for even Trump to pick. I mean, it shows you how naive even they are in the Pentagon. Like, they... boy.
Yeah.
Like, what... This has been something that's been happening all the time. Like,
yeah.
And this is a constant process that goes on between the Pentagon and the White House. And, of course, you have someone who's going to be like, yeah, what's the most lit version? Like,
right.
That is going to be the biggest fucking headline.
And I feel like his followers are going to love it if he does start the war.
It
further divides the nation, right?
Yeah, and it further alienates us from our allies, because if you look at Europe, they're like, nah, we don't want anything to do with this shit. Right. And I'm sure Vladimir Putin loves that.
Right.
Who knows what kind of hand Jared Kushner had in this, because between having, you know, MBS in his WhatsApp group to, you know, trade memes about the end of the world,
right,
and him like running point for a lot of things in Israel, I'm sure he also has a take on this. It's like, yeah, this will be good.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we're not only are we putting Americans at risk, all of the people in Iran are now having to look at themselves being like, what the fuck? What is now what?
Right.
And I just, it's really disheartening, because considering, like, you know, we've talked repeatedly about how terrible an idea war with Iran is.
Right.
And how in the history of wars with Iran, yo, people don't come out of there with the fucking victory parade.
Right. You're
usually taking the L of the century over there, militarily speaking. And the, you know, when factoring in like this idea of like how Mike Pence and Pompeo like have this also alternate narrative about the rapture and shit and war with Iran, there's nothing about this that I'm like, okay, good. Maybe someone is somewhat trying to guide this thing in the right way. And then again, even when you look at the motivations of the president, it could be that he wanted to do something to make him look stronger than Obama. It could literally just him be saying, I need a distraction from the impeachment.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think that he thinks it all the way through.
He's the most,
considering that.
I mean, they said that he was watching television coverage of the storming of the embassy, which of course means Fox News coverage, which of course means that it was probably drawing comparisons to Benghazi, because, you know, that is how Fox News operates. It's the most fear-mongering angle on any story. Yeah. So, you know, when that is one of the main inputs, that the only person making a decision for your country is using, then you're gonna have shit like this. And yeah, I mean, the Pompeo and Pence thing is also really, I feel like, one of those things that's the frog slowly boiling in a pot of water type situations where it's just like, yeah, that is wild. Those, we have people in a position to make decisions who have an apocalyptic view of the world and, you know, how the near future is going to play out.
Yeah.
Trump has also threatened to strike cultural sites, which is, I mean, basically terroristic.
Yeah, and like cultural genocide. You're quite literally being like, I can erase the remnants of your history through these destructive acts as well.
And then there were 60 Iranian Americans who say they were detained at the American border with Canada this weekend. It's starting to seem like things are kind of ramping up in a very jingoistic, xenophobic, terrifying direction.
Even the LAPD was saying they're going to focus on the Iranian Americans here in Los Angeles.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it's getting...
That seems fair.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, we have to, honestly, like, we really need to fight every urge that these people have to try and pull us into another completely world-fucking armed conflict.
I mean, but that's what's hard is for the average American is, what does that mean? Like, how do you fight without, you know, actually being in a battle?
Right.
Like, that's what's so scary. I think about, like, the conversation people are having online about making jokes about what's happening. It's, some people are, they're just so lost. Nobody knows
so
what
disconnected,
to think. So disconnected. And disconnected and not in their fault. But in the fact that, like, what can we do?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that sometimes for people making a joke about it just is like just kind of announcing, like, I'm against this, you know, because people don't know how to actually fight and fight against what's going on. And it's, I feel like it's especially difficult for people who are first generation, whose families like fled some of these countries that have been previously attacked by the U.S. government. We're just like, What the fuck? Where do I sit in this?
Yeah,
how does
right.
you know? Like, I already know what this means. I already see the future happening, and it's fucking hard.
Yeah. All right. Well, in maybe better news,
I would love if we went into Goop right after this.
Maybe better news. Goop has an answer.
It's a jade egg.
Yes.
Jade eggs for peace.
John Bolton says he will testify if he's subpoenaed. He was not subpoenaed during the House inquiry in the lead up to impeachment, but now that the president has been impeached and is on trial in the Senate, the Muppet ambassador has said that if the Republican Senate subpoenas him, he will have no choice but to honor the request.
Very brave. Yeah. I think also let's not forget this man has a book coming out. And so it would be a weird look if he's like, yeah, I didn't testify in front of Congress about that shit, but I left that for my book. Like, and he's also a lawyer. I think part of him realizes he needs to set himself up to look like he wanted to do something.
Right.
Yeah.
For his book. I'm pretty cynical about knowing like what he'll say. Cause I know on one hand he was up in it for the entire Ukraine affair and saying how much he opposed it and how bullshit it was. But on the other side, he has such a war boner for like this Iranian conflict. I don't know how much he wants to like fuck up putting America on the path to conflict with Iran, but I don't know. There's just so many dimensions to understand what his motivations
are. It
does
feel like he would be, if he were personally the sole person in charge of American foreign policy, like the assassination would have been some shit that he would have pulled.
It probably was something he was saying like from the jump.
Right. Yeah. Because he is always down for an invasion or a war. I mean, that's the scary thing is that I had always, my vision of how this would happen is that the Pentagon or military officials or John Bolton would, convince Trump to do something that was militarily aggressive. But the fact that Trump is the one who like surprised them is really fucking scary. So,
welcome back. Nihilism turned up to 300 in here.
Yeah.
I'm just excited that the subpoena is part of his book tour.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
A great little stop there.
Yeah. I mean, think about how many books Sondland could have sold. It would have been.
Jesus. Yeah. Hotel management for fucking turds.
Right. 207 members of Congress are asking the Supreme Court to consider overruling Roe v. Wade. A coalition of 207 members of Congress last Thursday filed an amicus brief to the Supreme Court asking to reconsider Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania versus Casey in an apparent effort to crush reproductive rights at the federal level. Basically, this would, if the Supreme Court like agreed to it, they would there would be a lawsuit and then it would go all the way to the top and then it becomes an opportunity for this unprecedentedly conservative Supreme Court to fuck with women's reproductive rights. Moving on. Jesus Christ.
I don't
Christ.
Even know where to go, honestly.
I know, man.
It's like
I mean, I think a lot of people agree with you. A lot of people what do you say? What do you do? It's very difficult.
I don't know how the fuck you look at this country and go, this is a great place to be.
Yeah.
You know, we don't give a fuck about the people who need help the most. We don't give a fuck about extending rights to anybody who is different than a cishet human being.
Right.
But it's also the hypocrisy of like focusing on these countries that are like, they suppress their women and then they do it here in their own way.
Yeah,
in their
exactly.
own little fun way. And
it's
so,
like, but they can dress sexy though.
Right, right.
So and, that's the difference, even though we will give them no agency over their bodies.
So it's just, we're in a fun time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think also too, it's important that people really begin educating themselves on how a lot of this shit that, like you're saying, America accuses other countries of doing, America has been doing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, educate yourself on how quickly the U.S. overthrew Iran's government.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much shit that all the roads lead back to this place.
Right.
That it's hard. Like, that's why it irks me when you see people get like so. I mean, it doesn't irk me because I realize a lot of these people are operating from a place of ignorance, but there's such an ignorance of our history and like what our actions are as a nation that I don't know. Shouldn't be surprised with how dark shit is getting, especially when you look at how this like empire is slowly like winding down.
Yeah.
Like even like the Romans were, where it's just like, This was sort of the end game with the Romans too. They started doing these like weird military excursions around the world that they didn't need to get into. That was taking resources away from the people within their own empire,
right?
And was slowly causing a deterioration from within. Mm. Anyway,
Amazon didn't pay any taxes. Gladiator battles?
Yes.
Right.
I mean, we already kind of got it, right?
yeah. I mean,
the food and circus. We got the bread and circus. We're in the bread and circus, you know, phase two. We got you know, you can eat. Most people can afford to eat things to numb the pain.
Yeah.
And then put on your 300,000 different streaming options.
Mm.
Well, I'm just glad that we have AOC, that we have Ayanna Pressley, that we have Ilhan Omar. Like, it's crazy that there's so much imbalance in the government, and we've just started seeing like a little crack, you know, on the left liberal progressive side. And it's that thing of like, who's willing to sacrifice their entire life so that they can like make life better for other people, the Americans, you know? And I mean, the reason I say that is because in my early 20s, I used to like, you know, I marched and I was, you know, keeping up with everything. And I was like, you know, trying to give myself to politics. And I was like, this sucks. Like when you realize how deep and dark it gets, which is, you know, proof with all the topics we're talking about today, it's like, you really have to be selfless if you really want to commit to improving what's happening in this country. And it is why so many people, you know, enroll in the military, because they kind of feel hopeless and they don't have access to anything. So they do
it. And that's by design.
And it is by design, but that's the thing, is like, we need more people on the other side, the power side. And it's just, it's a muddled world we're living in.
Well, I think that's why we have to look at like the people who like, look at how, you know, stocks for defense companies goes up when we start, the saber rattling begins. Like, they're winners all the time. And they're people who have much greater resources than just working people do.
Yeah.
And that's like such an important thing to realize, like how that power is distributed and what that means. Because then for people who, you know, have family members that are enlisted, this now becomes a real threat of being deployed. And who knows what the outcome is when people when we have to send people to the Middle East. It's not going to be good.
When it comes to the 2020 election, because I mean, that is something that we can actually do something about. So military leaders are trying to protect the 2020 election from Russian interference. The way they're doing that, though, is by reaching out to Russian oligarchs and threatening Russian oligarchs to be like, hey, we can freeze your money, we can take away all your money, because they can't go the direct path of threatening Putin or using the power of the U.S. presidency. Because, and this was one of the underrated revelations of last year's, just billions of revelations, but when Trump met with that Russian Alfred Hitchcock-looking dude the day after he fired Comey,
Sergei Lavrov?
Yeah. He talked about how firing Comey was going to get a bunch of heat off him, but it was revealed last year that he had also talked about how he didn't think it was a big deal that Russia interfered in the 2016 election because the U.S. used to interfere in other countries' elections. So it's like, he's basically set it up. So it's like, go for it.
Yeah. Right. Connect so four.
And the military, he's not wrong. I mean, it's a...
Yeah, but...
I know, I'm just saying that the logic is technically not incorrect, you know?
Right.
It's a weird deployment of like whataboutism, but like you would, but it only if it benefits you.
Absolutely.
Yes. Otherwise, you'd be like, well, what the hell is this? It's like, yeah, but America does it.
Yeah.
Right. And they helped Hillary Clinton win.
Right.
Yeah, but you got me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Checkmate.
That's what I find fascinating, is that Trump has the ability to like turn shit into like a children's book of government.
Right.
Like, that's where he's functioning from, is the children's book version of what government is. And it's like, you can't debate him because you're like, that is the most simplistic breakdown of what's happening. But it, in his worldview, it makes sense.
It's a valid critique of U.S. foreign policy and like what the U.S. should be doing. It's not a valid way to view like the protection of American citizens.
I wonder what would happen if somebody told him to shut the fuck up on the debate stage.
Dude, like I have how a he tweet. I have old when Hillary. I remember because I check my Facebook on this day for old jokes to reuse all the time, and I have a tweet or whatever about how like I really wish Hillary at one point would have been like, "Will you shut the fuck up?" Because she would have gained so many voters that way.
Also, like a dude like that, not used to somebody like full throttle being like, "Hey man, shut the fuck
like
up."
Like gangster shit.
Yeah, like checked him.
Yeah.
Smack him.
Maybe he needs to go to some kind of scared straight type thing. Just be able to check him. Be like, "What the fuck are you going to do?"
Yeah, I mean, they say that's the one time he faced authority that he was scared of was the generals at his like military academy that he got shipped off to.
Oh, right.
Because his parents didn't love him. And he, like, so now he still respects a uniform. Like, they say he's still, like, very fearful.
So do it like how in Big Daddy, when Adam Sandler was trying to get the little boy, I think, to use the bathroom or to shower.
Yeah.
He dressed up like Scuba Steve. Yeah. And gaslit him, be like, "Scuba Steve?" And he's like, "No, I'm his uncle." Just get some actor in it.
Put that treat in your pussy.
Yeah. Trick him.
To your point, though, that kid in Big Daddy was a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
I mean, how did he not see that?
Hey, they grew up to be on that show.
What show?
Riverdale, right?
Oh, did they?
Really?
Cole and Dylan Sprouse.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I didn't know
Aren't
that.
Aren't those little kids from Big Daddy?
I don't know.
Yeah. Were they twins in the movie or they
nah,
were just...
you know how they, because you get those child labor laws, baby.
Yeah, swap hey, them in know, and
best
out.
Way, best thing around this child labor laws, get identical twins.
Yeah.
You can alternate them back
double
and forth.
Double the abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Guys, I've never been so excited to talk about Goop, which we're going to do when we come back from this break.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zy Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and we're right. Back, and we have an update.
Breaking news.
The kids from Big Daddy are also known for
The Suite Life.
The Suite Life of Zach and Cody. Super producer Anna Hosnier had to check us on that. Let's talk about Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop. We have covered over the course of the history of the Daily Zeitgeist the fact that Goop has some interesting ideas.
I'm just looking at an analysis of our story because we break down the topics we've covered. We've talked about Goop 1,300 times.
1,300.
Yeah. It's a round number.
1,301 today. Yeah,
1,301. Yeah. 1,301. Great year.
So Goop is full of shit. I mean, like they have some ideas that they put alongside actual medical science that is just complete pseudoscience, including an egg you can buy and put in your vagina that does absolutely nothing, but they claim it. It helps you something. I don't know.
I mean, just get your takes from Dr. Oz when you were talking about vaginas, when he said, it's a self-cleaning oven.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So some of the things they're going to be covering on this new Netflix show, psychedelics, which...
Oh my God, the last fucking people I need to hear about psychedelics from is the Goop crew. Yeah. Yeah. Talk about voting for Trump. Right. Shit you know.
Cold therapy, like cryogenic therapy, I think, is the idea. Like
bringing Rogan on to talk about this shit?
Yeah, right. Probably.
Number one Goop supporter,
yeah,
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, smoking blunts with Rogan.
Psychics?
So no.
They're putting psychics on the same level as psychedelics.
Wow.
And exorcisms.
Wait, what the fuck does have to do with living naturally? Like an exorcism?
They
exorcise your ingrown hairs away?
Goop's goal is to, quote, explore ideas that may seem out there or too scary. So they literally brag in the trailer that some of their bullshit is, quote, dangerous and, quote, unregulated, which would be a plus if
Wait,
you were...
Yeah. Up front, they're yeah. warning you that their content or, like, the things aren't really, haven't been vetted or are worth your... full consideration.
Yes.
Can't wait for Netflix to get sued.
Yeah, right. Oh, we should just do
Something's
that.
Something's gonna happen.
They keep so people, when asked about this, Netflix and Goop keep assuring people that Goop's, quote, science and research team is very involved in the show, which wouldn't be that reassuring.
Okay. They're talking about what I.
Yeah, so their science and research team apparently vetted an episode about exorcisms.
They're like, yeah, that's true. A demon did jump into her soul.
Right.
And it was a demonic possession.
Yeah. But, like, they know the metaphysics of that.
Didn't they get sued already for yeah. something?
Yeah. I think there was a class action lawsuit. I mean... But literally, they once defended an unproven treatment for Lyme disease using quantum physics.
Oh my God.
What? I mean, I don't know why I'm surprised. Their whole outlet is just a pseudoscience festival.
Yeah.
So
it raises the question, what does their science and research team look like?
It's a bunch of, I don't know, people eat, I don't know.
Yeah.
Wearing like, have people with linen sheets.
It's just Gwyneth Paltrow in a white lab coat.
just... With a magnifying glass. Oh, I'm not a researcher. Then how do you explain this magnifying glass? And I have a petri dish.
Gwyneth was at the Golden Globes.
Yes, she
two
was.
Nights ago. Which I don't know. What did you guys watch it?
Yeah, I watched.
I saw it from the Ellen Special Award.
Oh, that was cute.
Yeah,
her speech was really funny.
Her speech was just she kept that bit going. I liked it.
Yeah,
me too.
But I thought she was going to veer into, the thing that struck me as odd was off top when she was talking about Australia and she's like, yeah, and just, you know, the animals, not like the people or like the climate, you know, I'm a one percenter now.
Yeah.
Like my sort of like my empathy for humanity has completely disintegrated and evaporated.
Yeah. Ricky Gervais had a good joke about Jeffrey Epstein and
how
he's friends with all the people in the room.
I love that he was like, "You did it, not me."
That
was my favorite.
Right.
That was about the one thing I thought was good from him.
He had a few good jokes.
There are a few, but overall, like, I'm just tired of his ass up, like, doing the show, the Golden Globes,
because
he's always acting like this drunk dude at work who's about to rage quit.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. I don't care. It's the last year. I'm drinking a beer up here.
I just think the idea that you shouldn't be able to have a political stance because you work for Apple or Amazon, which he works for Netflix. And so I noticed that he didn't say shit about Netflix, but that he said that, like, if you work for Apple or Amazon, like, you shouldn't be able to have a political stance because they're evil companies, which is kind of a bullshit way of.
But it was funny, though.
You thought
it
that
might
one
be
was
bullshit,
funny?
But it's funny.
I mean, the sentiment, like,
the reason I liked
it. The logic
it,
is flawed, but.
But the reason I liked it is because it's very much like, yo, check yourself a little bit tonight. Like, yes. Because in my head, I was like, these people are going to say political stuff. He knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But to kind of check them a little bit so that. Because I think Patricia Arquette would have went buck wild more if he hadn't said that. Mm. But I do like that she was just like, you know what? Vote.
Fuck
just
it.
Vote.
Yeah.
Because that is, like, to be concise. It would be more important to me in that kind of a speech.
Right, right. To be maybe I do work for a company that has, you know, slowly created a sort of indentured servitude model of working for them. I don't know. Look,
I mean, it's the old.
Who else got nipple stickers on Prime for today?
There's no ethical consumption in a capitalist society, right? That's like baseline. But, like, for him to kind of be like, you guys, just tone it down a notch. I do like that.
No,
I do like that he did.
Because I know what you're saying about sort of just like, if your self-righteousness rings a bit hollow if you accept checks from places that don't pay taxes and have no interest in, like, paying their fair share while they profit off of everybody.
Yes.
Did Joaquin Phoenix have a speech where he had a speech, right?
Yeah, it got cut off. I couldn't see it.
I think it ended with him, like, saying we don't all need to take private jets.
Yeah, it was really funny.
What the fuck is he doing?
Shut the fuck
what,
up.
What is this
man?
From the Joker?
How the
or
hell
something?
Are we supposed to get to Palm Springs?
Yeah.
Drive? No.
But see, I like it. It's concise. It's very specific. It's like, guys, we don't need to do that thing that we're all in the room we're all doing.
Yeah.
We don't have to do that.
And it's a little cringy too when people kind of get up with, like, half-assed soapbox moments and you're like, you didn't need to. Just take your award. It's all good.
Mm.
What else happened there? The one thing I did remember was that, what's the Bigfoot animation that won? Yo, they were genuinely surprised.
Yeah, Link. Flabbergasted.
Yeah,
was
Missing
the word
Link.
He used.
Missing Link.
The woman, she.
I know, she was crying.
It was energizing me to see somebody who was so pleasantly surprised. Like,
she's like,
but how surprised can you be if you're nominated?
Well, when you're up against those other, like,
Toy Story
Frozen
4.
And, like, Lion King, and you're in that category, you're like, in my mind, you're like, man, they ain't giving that shit to us.
Right.
I just don't agree with that. I'm always like, anybody can win. Anybody can win.
Well, I want to buy your tapes.
Motivational speaker.
I wouldn't be surprised. You should expect to win.
You should expect to win. If you're nominated, you should expect to win.
That's true.
That's what, you know, it was funny.
Or maybe
was,
she was humbled, right?
I hate that. You're winning an award, bitch. You're not humble.
Well, I guess from how small, I guess, you understand the business
been,
enough like
if
that.
If she had been like, oh my God, we ain't shit. And we won? That's fucking crazy. But like to be like, oh, it's flabbergasted.
Yeah.
That was kind of comical.
I don't think she got a word in, actually.
No,
she was just making noises off to the side.
Yeah.
I just, if you
looked
don't
like
know
someone
what to
the
say,
hits.
If you don't know what to say, just thank Beyonce. She was in the room.
Yes.
Yeah, just
thank
default
her.
To that.
Yeah, that's what they
You know what?
Done.
Thank you, Beyonce. Time for a Beyonce impression.
Thank you so much.
I was surprised that she was there and didn't win, but I guess so. I
well, like by the laws of the universe, you can't have an award show. Beyonce's present, and she does not leave with statue.
They always
her.
Lose.
I feel like
they're black.
Yeah, no.
I do
facts.
Feel like they usually the Golden Globes. It's like based on who the biggest star is that they can get
there. I think
there.
That's what surprised me last night. It was surprising watching it, like not seeing J Lo win. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah,
they're old.
Sure, but it's still J Lo.
I know, but they don't know that.
Right.
They think they're like, who is Jennifer Lopez? No. Who's Jennifer Lopes?
Lopes. You know what I mean? Not that racist, are they?
They're old. Man, look, I'm going to tell you, look, I'll give it to you straight. I know how that motherfucker works. It's all old.
Old people.
It's
all
like,
old.
It's, you could get the same takes if you brought a the ballot to an old folks home. Be like, yeah. pick some.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, and their tastes are very specific because it's many European people too. Because no one's American. Most people are not American who vote in the HFPA. Or if they are, they're like dual citizens. But many of them are, you know, a boomer generation from Europe.
Yeah.
Right. So they're the things they like, you can tell, like they sometimes they get on their like Anglophile bit and they start liking English shows. It's very clear, like, you know, what gets popular with them. And then you can kind of see. Like,
so that's why 1917 won, because they all remember it.
Yeah.
I think that was the other funny part about
such a senseless war.
That's the thing. That's what's funny about it is like everybody to like rail against the government, and then the people like, you know what movie won a lot of awards? This war movie.
Yeah,
you know, right. War, isn't it great? Let's give it awards.
War awards.
Let's put the war back in awards. Yes.
All right. Do many people have anti-war things that they said yesterday? I felt like it was a lot of Australia.
Yeah.
A lot of like. I think women's rights.
Yeah, but it's
climate change.
But all of that is anti-conservative government. All of those concepts that people are talking about.
I wish more people would have been like really sounded the alarm about war.
Yeah, it almost makes it.
I think it's tricky.
Yeah,
because you become anti-American.
But you know, I think that's the problem.
Saying it's tricky for them, right, to be popular.
People say, well, why are you not supporting the government? Yes. It's like, because they're needlessly starting conflict around the world. And also, like, let's be real. Like, we're only exacerbating the situation in Iran with sanctions and things like this to put them in more of a desperate position to try and give ourselves some kind of pretext for armed conflict.
Yeah.
And it's just,
too bad Gwyneth Paltrow didn't say that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yo, she was, what, that was not, was that even a dress she
like
had on?
Like Victorian belly dancer? I don't know what the fuck that was. I hated it.
Like someone who had just come back from their like journeys from the Middle East. I present to you the belly dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, it was really gross.
I mean, I guess that was in and of itself an ad for Goop. Because they're like,
absolutely.
Because she was showing, she
That's
wanted
why
to let
she
them
was
know.
There.
I got my body snatched up in this see-through outfit. And I think it was was it just underwear? Like, there was everything see-through? It was like a bra. Were there pants underneath?
No, it's a dress. I mean, it's a legitimate dress.
But it was
sheer. But it's very sheer, but not the bottom. Like, it's not so sheer on the bottom. It's like sheer from the waist up.
Oh, I could have sworn she had like her
dress.
Leg. Oh, okay. Very strategic. Okay,
it's a
good
very
to
strategic
know.
Dress. Strategic garments. High fashion, Miles. You don't know anything about
Definitely
it.
Definitely not. The only thing I know about high fashion is when I'm trying to pick out undershirts at Target high.
Okay, good. That joke ended how I thought it was going to end.
There we go.
I have to fix this joke?
Yeah, there it is.
No,
okay, now I'm just seeing what her dress looked like.
It's really ugly.
You are correct. Let's check in with how people are making do here in these United States. A woman,
more about war. I'm
Tracy
so excited.
Milanovic of Somerset, Massachusetts, just a run-of-the-mill palm reader.
Mm-hmm.
Till she was charged with a couple crimes, obtaining property over $250 by trick.
That's a weird ass charge.
That is. Larceny over $1,200, intimidation of a witness.
Yep.
And it all comes from the fact that she had convinced a client that her daughter was possessed.
Yeah. So this woman who was getting her palm read. Yes, this woman, her finesse skills were so next level. She's like, you know, I think your daughter's possessed by a demon. And the way we're going to get this, the way I can banish it, stop asking questions. You'd think banishing or doing exorcisms is only for a priest. No. Palm readers can do this shit too.
Yo.
And
it
basically,
sounds like a storyline from Los Espookies.
Yeah.
It does.
Exactly. And basically got $71,000 from this woman. And then also got the victim to buy like a bunch of household like linens and like towels and shit for her.
Because they were clean of spiritual fuckery.
They were straight from China.
She's like, here's the deal. Like, if I'm going to get this demon up out your daughter, I need some new parachute sheets.
I mean, it makes sense. The logic is Trump logic, but it makes sense when you think about it.
I mean, people who already, like, I have such a such a disdain for people who use the supernatural intervention way to like just exploit
their problems.
No. To because people are desperate who fall for that.
Right.
Like, I don't really fault them because they so badly need to hear or know something from
healing.
Somewhere. Yeah.
They need some kind of closure.
And you find some snake ass motherfucker who's like, okay, yeah, I helped connect you with your aunt that you were missing, but also we need to look at your daughter's exorcism.
Right.
What is she, Julian? Yeah, she's possessed by a demon.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I the conservative media has been writing about for the past couple of years how exorcisms are on the rise. Like, I think this is a very attractive idea right now, is to just, you know, explain it all away with the devil did it.
If you can't wrap your head around American imperialism, then believing in ghosts is probably a second best explanation for weird shit.
That is so funny.
You're like, yeah, man, ghosts, man. Shit's real bad now.
Yeah. Yep.
Not because we have like a history of like destabilizing governments who dare stand in the way of our aggressive expansion and resource wars and shit like that. I think it's ghosts.
Why is my family so unhappy? It can't be the economy, because look at the stock market.
Well, the economy is not drained because of all this micromilitarism.
Right.
It's because of the devil.
Right.
And Obama.
Yeah.
That's true. The devil and the black devil.
Yeah, right?
That's right. Marcella, it has been a pleasure having you.
Oh, my God.
As always.
I want to say thank you for having me, but what a horrible day to be here.
I know. I'm sorry.
I really hate you guys.
Yeah.
We'll report on something else. People don't need to hear about this stuff.
Well, if you guys want to hear comedy, I'll be on David Spade's Lights Out on Comedy Central tonight, Tuesday, January 7th, 11:30 p.m.
Oh, perfect. How are you gonna deal with that? Don't they talk about the daily?
I think
events?
So.
But they're funny.
We'll
about
see.
It.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think it's like a free for all, very similar to this.
Right.
And if, unlike you guys, if it's not funny, they'll cut it out.
Right.
But I don't really care. I mean, it seems like a fun environment. So we'll see.
You're going to crush. That's
I
amazing.
I hope so. And I'll be at Sketchfest this weekend for Women Crush Wednesdays on a Saturday at the Swedish American Hall. San Francisco with the Bay Area wants to watch that shit.
Hey.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Absolutely. Let me find it. Casey Kuppenbender. She's at KCKUPPENBENDR. She said, in your 20s, you meet potential partners every weekend. But in your 30s, you meet one every, like, 3 months, except you didn't technically meet. They're across the room with their wife. I really relate to that. So I wanted to share. She has some really great tweets. She's a comedy writer and sex worker. Dabbles in both.
She's
very talented, very funny, very beautiful. And, follow her. She's great. Okay, so you guys, when you sent me the doc to prepare for the show, I was very excited.
Yeah.
About the first topic was just cats. The movie just said cats, cats, cats. So I didn't see the movie because fuck that. I've seen all the images online and I was like, no way. So I asked my Twitter followers, I told them, I was like, I'm going to be doing this podcast and we're going to talk about cats. Who has thoughts I can plagiarize? And I got one that said, a fever dream inside an even worse fever dream, a nonsensical story focusing on 90 minutes of introductions followed by what feels like a mercy killing of a sad cat with a runny nose. The CGI is an abomination and they don't know if they want cats or people pretending to be cats. So shout out to at the true H-Man because that shit cracked me up. And I was like, I'm saying that. So that's my review of cats is the true H-Man's review.
I'm glad because we did make a New Year's resolution that we would have one piece of cats content every episode
there you go.
This year.
You're welcome,
so you
bitch.
Got it.
Damn, there it is.
There it is. Miles, is there a tweet you've been enjoying? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. You can also find us on January 25th at the Gateway Theater in San Francisco doing the show live.
Nice.
With a very special guest, Demi Adejuyibe.
Yeah.
That shit will be pretty good.
At Electro Lemon.
Michael Swaim.
And Michael Swaim.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, everybody's coming through. So get your tickets there, SF Sketchfest. Look for that. We also got the world tour coming, and we have some ticket links
soon
for y'all.
After that.
Yeah, exactly. I think we'll be in Portland, Oregon, January 30th.
Mm.
And then D.C., Brooklawn, Vietnam, and where else?
I'm going to jump on one of
Minnesota,
these
Minnesota, Toronto, I'm Chicago, gonna... bang. And then more to come. Way more to come. We know
way
we got
more.
Love all over. And if you want, I know you've been asking for the ticket links. We have them, okay? check our Twitter. We'll be tweeting them out. I'll post them on whatever social medias
can.
Can
we put it in the show notes?
Put in the show notes also.
Show notes.
Come get them shits at the Yeah, and that's about that. Also on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra, where we get high, talk about 90 Day Fiancé. Okay, a tweet I like is actually a video of Chet Hanks, which is Tom Hanks' son, who is a rapper. Okay,
wait,
a lot
of these. Before you get into that, I found his speech so moving.
Tom Hanks's?
Yes. I don't know if you saw this.
I did, yes.
And it was very moving and it was very sweet. But then when as soon as he started talking about his family, he like choked up.
Yeah.
And all I thought was, I was like, he's probably embarrassed by his son. That's what's really bringing him to tears. And then this dropped and I was like, oh, uh-oh, man, I'm so right.
Yeah. A father's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Chet Hanks, okay, he's a rapper, okay? Daniel Day-Lewis has a son who's also a rapper.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. I don't know what it is about.
Our greatest actors.
I think when your dad is not like, you can't be like, yo, my dad will fuck your dad up. You got to then be like, compensate by being like, I'm going to be a rapper and take on weird accents and affects. This is what he said on the red carpet of the Golden Globes.
Great.
I don't know if he's been hanging out with Drake or something, but check this out.
Oh, my God. Big up the whole island, massive. It's your boy Chetana coming straight from that Golden Globe. You watching? My father Tom Hanks presenting in a while. Soon for what come. Big up, tune in.
No.
I mean, Tom really trained his children to deliver a line. Yeah. You can give him that.
Holy shit.
What the fuck
what
was that?
What the fuck was he doing speaking that patois?
Bumbaclot.
I know. I thought like, me don't give a fuck about no bumbaclot. Cease and be the middle award.
Spit
I just
on
spit
me.
It. Yeah,
just
that bumbaclot was violent.
I've got
no,
pink eyes.
It had to happen. It had to happen.
HF piano.
Wait, are you saying Miles talks shit? Because don't you get pink eye from poop?
Oh, yeah, okay. Wait, okay. I missed
I like
part.
That. That was cute.
Oh,
that's
shit.
A cute attempt at wordplay.
Is that a? I'm pretty sure that's a Chet Hanks rapper laughing.
Bomba clut.
Yeah, people it battle me getting pink eye because I'm talking
shit.
That shit.
Yeah.
Step in the cypher with me, motherfucker. You should quit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, Chet.
Can I get the.
That's like
Jack?
The Maybach music. Oh, my God, Chet. Chet. I'm surprised he's not calling himself like Chet Guevara or some shit.
Oh my,
Chet Guevara?
That's a great name.
That would be good, man. Why is he calling himself Chet Hanks? Or what does he call him, Chet?
Because it's his birth name.
Yeah.
That's whack.
Because that's what gets him booked is the last name.
All right. So the tweet I've been enjoying, there's a couple actually. Louis Vertel tweeted, every time I see Rachel Weisz, I touch my breastbone and gasp, my word.
I love him.
I love him too. And that's, I had a similar moment upon seeing her step out on stage. She's so intensely,
No, go ahead and finish that sentence, you fucking creep.
So intensely.
So intensely. Oh, my boner.
Oh, boy.
I didn't even think about her.
Didn't know I could sweat there.
Gross. And then Katie Delaney tweeted, can't sleep thinking about the time that bowling guy screamed,
oh, my God.
Who do you think you are?
I am.
And this clip just
so
blows
funny.
Me
who
the fuck away. So we're going to listen to that. It's 24 seconds long. You can kind of hear it, but it's worth it.
Hearing a boomer orgasm.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
That is right. Another five. Are you kidding me? That's right. Who do you think you are? I am.
Okay.
Get it right.
Get it right.
Again, Trump logic. It doesn't make sense, but it does.
God damn it. That's right. He just.
I did it.
Just so defiant, yelling at
I mean,
people
I guess
who are cheering for him.
In his mind, he's like, who do you think you are? Me? I am.
Yeah.
Right.
But who do you think you are? I am.
Katie Delaney. The comments, the follow-up comments, just commenting on this video. Katie Delaney said, him wrapping up the stream of nonsense with get it right might be the best part of it, actually. That is why I did it.
Oh,
this
also,
is a confession.
I forgot. Chet Hanks, his rapper name was Chet Hayes back in the day.
Oh, okay.
But his full legal name is Chester Marlon Hanks.
Yeah. And then MJ Nels tweeted, overshadowed and all of this is the person in the stands with this sign. And there's a person in the stands holding up a sign that says, I like bowling. You can find me on
Twitter.
That's
like Jack. 10 tweets, Jack.
I know. I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
Wow.
Can't help myself.
I love tweets and nobody else.
Dave Whelan tweeted, hugely underrated beginning of the Indignant. That's right, I did it, to what appears to be an entirely supportive crowd. Also love that. All right, you can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page, and we have a website. It's a little harder to get to than it was before. You have to go on a browser to...
How else would you go, Grandpa?
Well,
damn,
on mobile-y.
That's insensitive.
Oh,
I
mobile-y?
Guess on a mobile browser. It doesn't...
Oh, it has to
like
be desktop?
Like Catino mobile-y.
Oh,
Catino. You go to Mobile, Alabama to view
wow,
the website.
Wow, dude, the Catino mobile-y throwback.
What
he looks
else?
Terrible, by the way.
Oh, my God.
He
amazing.
Went.
Who is this?
He's a basketball player who was oh, drafted God, in, like,
care.
98.
You can stop.
Yeah, that's fine. He looks like a dude with old man strength, though, like you wouldn't fuck with.
But he really aged quite a bit.
Yeah.
As we all do.
You can catch me at MarcellaComedy.com or Instagram, same thing. I also, my weekly show is now monthly, first Wednesday of the month in LA, Women Crush Wednesdays at the Hollywood Improv Lab.
Boom.
Hell yeah. We ride out on a song. This totally fucked everything up. We also have a website, DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes on our
footnotes.
Where we link off to the information we talked about in the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we going to ride out on today?
Let's go out on just because we need to like just kind of reset here.
Yes.
Get soothe ourselves. This okay? I love Sade, and this is a remix. It's like a mashup of like sort of Fela Kuti with Sade, but the track By Your Side by Sade. And this is a remix. It's called Cotton Belly's Full La Mix or something. Anyway, you'll see the thing.
That's
it's a By Your Side remix.
That's my wedding song. By Your Side. By
oh, really?
Sade.
Is yeah. it really?
Yeah.
Think
oh,
my God.
Leave your side, baby.
Yeah.
You guys are adorable.
Love
you
that
know
song.
Me better than that. The Neptunes remix is also really good, too. People
yeah.
don't realize
the Neptunes,
Neptunes
remix is actually our wedding song.
It is?
No.
He got you. You're a
damn,
bitch.
Damn, I know. I'm a Neptune.
Fucking idiot.
I'm a Neptune.
Gullible ass bitch.
Damn, I love anything but Star Trek. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, check that one. Write it out. Please be kind. And please also tell people that war is not so fucking way.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because this is the Daily Podcast, and we'll talk to you then. Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner.
Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.